Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
My family's pretty big on camping during the warm summer months. Or at least my dad is. I'm 16 now, but when I was a lot younger, my parents split up. I live with my mom during the school semesters, and my dad during summer break. And when I'm living with my dad, we would constantly be going on different camping trips around the state, as sort of mini summer vacations. We go tent camping, and despite almost never having any phone service or any contact with the outside world, we both loved it. It always gave us a good opportunity to bond with each other, and overall have a good time. Every time we went, my dad and I would always put in the research to try and find a new spot to go. We didn't really ever like going to the same place twice, although we did make one exception to this rule. A few years back, we found this one campsite with a really nice lake and beach. It had some really hard to pronounce name, I can't remember exactly what it was. But ever since we discovered it, every year we've gone to that exact place at least once. It was beautiful, and even better yet, not very well known to the public. Though, even still, there were always a decent amount of other campers there every time we arrived. Most of them had children or teenagers, so it wasn't a wild party scene. It pretty much got its reputation as an informal family holiday spot. There was even a small building with toilets and showers installed nearby, even though it was practically in the middle of nowhere. Something I probably should have mentioned by now is that just a few days or so before my dad and I were going to go to this exact spot and spend the weekend camping, he actually adopted two German Shepherd dogs. I mean, it was so recent that he hadn't even come up with names for them yet. But regardless, we figured we would take them with us on our trip. They were really well trained, and the instant my dad got them, you could tell they took a liking to him right away. So it was me, my dad, and his two dogs. I remember this time in particular, we left later than usual. Late enough to where by the time we had actually arrived, the sun had pretty much already set. Definitely not a good time to have to build a tent. When we pulled into the site, we'd expected to arrive to other campers already set up and lighting up the forest with different campfires. But no, we were surprised to find out we were the only ones there. We had never been the only ones there. This place always had at least a few other campers. I mean, it was especially odd considering it was the middle of the summer, and the weather had been and was expected to be really nice. Needless to say, this put us on edge, but we tried to ignore it and started taking stuff out of the car to build our tent. Building that tent was difficult to say the least, only because at that point it was pitch black outside, and if you've ever tried to set up a tent in the dark, you know I'm not lying when I tell you it was hard. As we were fumbling around in the dark, we could clearly hear a car pulling up somewhere nearby. We weren't expecting to see anyone out here at this point. My dad simply said it must have just been security, and continued setting up the tent. But I don't know why a random campsite would have had security. I think what he meant was the Wildlife Trust or something, as they do occasionally come down to inspect the area. But in the pitch black darkness of the night? Whoever it was must have gotten out of their car, because through a clearing in the trees, we could see a figure walking around crouched low to the ground.
"Turn the flashlight off,"
my dad said in an almost panicked voice. What he said startled me, but I did what he said. Though it was clear we were too late. The figure already knew where we were, as the sound of footsteps was getting louder, making it clear the figure was approaching us. And that's when three flashlights turned on, and we realized it wasn't just one guy. There were three grown men, now only a few feet away from us. To our absolute horror, each one of them was carrying a large knife. Once my dad noticed this, he immediately got up, holding a camping mallet behind his back. The men began to practically shout at us that we couldn't camp here. My dad initially tried to be a bit low-key with the guys, and told them that it was fine and that we'd leave. But this didn't work. The men kept coming closer to us. I remember shaking. I was utterly terrified, as I'm sure anyone would be in that situation. It genuinely felt like these guys wanted to fight, and I knew for a fact my dad against three grown men with knives would not have ended well. But that's when I remembered the dogs. I opened the car door, and both of them instantly jumped out of the car and towards the men. And that did it. The men scattered into the forest, but not before the dogs got some good bites in. As quickly as we could, we gathered our things and got back in the car. Both of us shook up from what had just happened. I looked both of the dogs over, and they looked fine. No marks, nothing. My dad and I were trying to figure out what to do. We couldn't book a hotel, as they didn't allow dogs. So, ultimately, we just decided to drive home. On our way back, my dad would call the non-emergency line for the police and report what had just happened. Disturbingly, when we gave the location, we were informed that park we went to had been closed for months now due to a murder that had taken place there. There had apparently still been an ongoing investigation, resulting in it staying closed for the summer. That did explain the lack of people there, but as we entered, we saw no signs informing us of this whatsoever. We would give the best description of the three men that we could, but you gotta remember, it was pitch black outside, and it all happened so quick, so I don't know how accurate we were. But apparently, the woman we spoke to said they may get in contact with us in the future, as one of the descriptions we gave supposedly matched a suspect wanted in relation to the murder. Though, at least so far, we haven't gotten a call back. This occurred in 2019, on a vacation my family and I went on in the summer. Every year, we would go on a family vacation in a different location for around a week or so. And this year, we decided to go to Daytona Beach in Florida. I'm 17, and an only child, so it was only me and my parents. Well, actually, we did have some extended family coming, but due to booking our hotels late, we weren't able to stay anywhere close to each other. We did have some planned activities together, but for the most part, we were on our own as a family. It was the first day we were there, and we pretty much just napped and lounged around in our hotel room all day due to exhaustion from traveling. Once it got dark, my parents suggested we should all go down to the beach and walk around for a bit before heading to bed. Honestly, that didn't sound all that fun, but back then I was really into photography, so I figured I'd walk down with them, and while they were taking a walk, I could take some cool pictures of the ocean. This went on for maybe 30 minutes. My parents were way down the beach at this point, and being tired, I just figured I'd head back to the room by myself. And so I did. When I entered the room, I contemplated whether or not to lock the door behind me, but decided against it, as I was the only one with a room key, and if I did fall asleep before my parents came back, I didn't want to have to get up to open the door for them. I must have fallen asleep seconds after my head hit the pillow, but just to be woken up hours later by my mom saying my name in a harsh whisper. The room had two beds, my parents' bed closer to the door, and mine further in the room. Again, my mom's voice cut through the silence, this time sounding even more concerned than the last. So, groggily, I rolled over and asked what she wanted. As my eyes adjusted to the dim moonlight coming in through the room's curtains, I saw her turn to look at me. It was as if she looked shocked to see me in bed. Her eyes got wide, and we both glanced back to where she was previously looking, just to see a hooded figure in all black standing over their bed. I was absolutely horrified. I tried screaming, but nothing came out. My mom nudged and whispered to my dad, who at this point was still asleep. All the while, the figure just continued to stand there, until finally, my dad woke up, and everything else seemed to have happened in an instant. Suddenly, the figure booked it outside, followed not far behind by my dad. My mom was now screaming bloody murder. I tried to follow my dad, but lost him before even making it to the hotel exit. My mom would call the police, and shortly after, my dad would return having been outran by the figure. It turns out a couple other guests of that hotel had experienced something very similar that night. And even one of the workers there had reported to have seen a man testing multiple room doors to see if they were locked. What we figured must have happened is somewhere between me arriving to the room and my parents arriving, this man must have let himself in. I mean, it made sense. I left the room unlocked for my parents and was completely out of it asleep on my bed. And I guess the figure must have hidden somewhere inside, which would explain how he wasn't noticed when my parents got back. We would of course give the police our statement, but to this day, we still don't know whatever ended up happening. Needless to say, this experience caused us to be completely on edge for the rest of our vacation. This happened around 2 years ago. My friend and I, female and both 16 at the time, were vacationing in a small national park in California. It was technically my friend's family vacation, but I was close enough to her family to where they were happy to invite me. It was only over an extended weekend, so it wasn't like I was intruding on an expensive multiple-week vacation or anything. We stayed in a hotel in a somewhat touristy area on a decently busy street. And this night, being teenagers, we begged my friend's parents if we could go off alone to go play mini golf. The other night I had been looking on the Snapchat map, and was able to see a mini golf course nearby. I remember suggesting we should check it out, and we figured this night would be perfect. It was only about 4 blocks down from our hotel, and we insisted on walking there alone. After a bit of pleading, her parents agreed, as long as we were back before dark. When we got there, we quickly realized the course itself was in terrible condition. It looked abandoned. I mean, all the bushes were overgrown, half the holes were flooded. You get the idea. Though, in my mind, this wasn't a bad thing. Maybe this meant we wouldn't have to pay. We saw another group of teenagers playing in the distance, and considering there were a couple clubs and golf balls lying around, we just started playing. We played the first half of our game, and nothing eventful happened. But that's when we noticed a man, probably in his mid-20s or early 30s, just following us around the course. The group of teenagers that had been there had left at this point, meaning it was just me and my friend alone with this dude. After getting a better look, I realized the guy had on what looked like to be a work uniform for the place. Maybe the place wasn't abandoned. Maybe we really were supposed to pay. And both me and my friend figured he was coming to kick us off. But no, he was just lingering around close to wherever we were. Finally, the guy approached us and asked us how old we were. He said he was asking us because he needed to verify we were young enough to be eligible to play for free. And so we told him our age. Looking back, I regret doing this. But he replied, simply saying,
Okay.
We thought that would get him to leave us alone, but he didn't. He kept asking us questions like where we were from, what grade we were in, who we were with, and personal stuff like that. We didn't engage much in the conversation, and kept shooting looks at each other as if to both agree the situation was getting weird. I guess he picked up on this, as finally he left us alone. We finished playing our game, and at that point it was actually starting to get really dark. As we exited the mini golf course, I noticed something. There was a sign that read, "Closed for the summer," which made me realize the guy we had been talking to didn't work there. He couldn't have. He was impersonating an employee. And that's when my friend stopped me. On our way out, we saw the man, but now with 4 other men all sitting on a park bench near the exit. We were frozen for a couple seconds, not knowing what to do. But that's when one of the guys noticed us and pointed in our direction. All of them got up in sync and started full-on sprinting towards us. We both knew they were exactly where we needed to go to exit, and so we had no choice but to run back into the course and climb a fence to get on the sidewalk leading to our hotel. I remember saying one word, run, and we did. We ran back into the course, climbed a fence, and continued to run the 4 blocks back to our hotel. We never looked back once, so realistically neither of us knew if the men followed us or not, but nothing else happened that night. We caught our breath in the lobby and both agreed we weren't going to tell anyone about this, especially not my friend's parents, as we both knew they wouldn't hesitate to stop us from doing anything fun the rest of the trip. To this day, it still makes me sick to my stomach to think what those guys' intentions were that night.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Moto Casino.
social casino.
Protein is now at Starbucks, and it's never tasted so good. You can add protein cold foam to your favorite drink or try one of our new protein lattes or matcha. Try it today at Starbucks.